finding them on the papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. We're live from the very echoey studio at Republic Broadcasting Network. If it sounds like I'm in a rain barrel, that's because they've taken all my soundproofing off the wall, and I had to fight and scratch to keep the window in the wall between the broadcast room and the studio. At any rate, we're live here today out of the soon-to-be-old network on this Thursday, the 28th of June, 07. And coming up on today's program, I've got Peter Hendrickson, Cracking the Code, coming on. A lot of requests for this guy. And I had a guest that I had to cancel due to a medical emergency, so he was nice enough in 50 minutes notice to come up on the program today. I'm very glad that he did. And Michael Herzog might pop in because he has about 31 different questions stored in his computer. I hope he doesn't ask all 31 of them. But at any rate, Michael will be probably popping in on the show. This is the last broadcast that I'll be doing from the old studios here at the old address at Republic Broadcasting Network. And, well, what's the new address? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here is the new address for the network, and you can simply jot this down, RBN, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So we'll be doing that. We're going to be ripping out windows and cutting doors, and we got a loaded schedule for the next 3 days. We will not be live on air tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday. There will be just repeats on the program on this network until Monday morning, which will allow us to get everything plugged in, everything tuned up, and ready to go. And I hope you all out there listening by satellite are enjoying the feed. We bumped up the bit rate on that puppy. It's about 128K now. So we hope that you're enjoying that. And we're tweaking and doing all that we can here. My goodness, this afternoon I even redid the bumper stickers for Republic Broadcasting. And ironically, it looks a lot like the header on republicbroadcasting.org. Well, that's because it is. The only difference is it won't say Republic Broadcasting Network. It'll say republicbroadcasting.org. They're doing the sticker as we speak at bumperstickers.com. We appreciate you guys over there very, very much for doing that. And it's time to get political again, folks. You know, y'all dried up on your bumper stickers and expressing your opinion silently, standing in line at the traffic light in your car, just sitting there idling. Let people know what you're thinking about. There's a lot more people out there that agree with you, but they won't know your thoughts unless you make them know. So bumperstickers.com, go to that site. You can even have your own bumper stickers made up. They're crafty guys. They got good artists over there, good comp people. They do a great job, so we appreciate that very much. All right, we'll take the break here, come back on the other side. Peter Hendrickson, Cracking the Code, and my guy stole my thing here, so I can't give you the website, but we'll give it to you. Oh, yes, it is. Lost. You still got the window you can hold it up against. Or otherwise, you could just yell through the hole. Okay, losthorizons.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we are back. You may have heard, if you haven't, well, this is where you get your news. In the Senate today, the bill 1639, they tried to invoke cloture on it, and they failed to do so. The nays on cloture were 53 to 46. One person didn't vote. I guess they want to be elected next cycle. But the cloture did not pass. In other words, cloture vote when invoked on the Senate. Thank you, Julie, for that cup of coffee. When they invoke cloture on the Senate floor, that cuts off all debate. And I've been reporting on this in the last couple of days, and I've been watching C-SPAN. I've been watching the Senate doings. And yesterday, I mean, it was really disgusting. There's Dianne Feinstein up there, and one of the Republican senators, I forget his name, he was from Alabama, I do believe it was. He was saying, wait a minute here. You guys have got amendments to this bill. We don't even have the amendments so we can read it. Henry Reid is standing there, the majority whip on the floor saying, well, no, we just changed a word maybe in a sentence or whatever. Basically what he was saying is we want you to vote on this, okay, without reading the amendments. And that's what basically had stymied this thing, because they cannot suffer a debate on this, because this would drag out forever. So for right now, the immigration bill, has suffered a defeat of sorts. It's not a dead puppy. I listened to Senator Kennedy, Hutchinson from Texas here, and they're vowing that they're going to piecemeal this thing in. So this is not a dead issue. But Bush right now, I'm sure, is spinning in his chair in the Oval Office, madder than a wet hen, traitor that he is to this country. And, well, he's deservedly so to be so angry. And I'm glad he is, because, George, do you know how many people are angry at you right now? I don't think you want to know. You have your insulators there in the White House to keep you from the bad news. But the good news is that the Senate bill 1639, for all intents and purposes, right now, is a dead duck. Now, tell me, ladies and gentlemen, that your voice does not count. They started to admit on the Senate floor about the angry phone calls and faxes and emails, and I don't know, probably some enterprising people probably sent carrier pigeons with little messages attached to their little legs over to the White House. At any rate, don't tell me that your voice does not count. Because these are politicians, they want to stay in office. And as useless as the Senate has become, you know, they used to be treated as ambassadors over to a foreign territory, and the representatives, being the senators, were sent from the states. And when they weren't doing the job or the bidding of the state on a constitutional basis, this is when we used to call them statesmen. Remember that? Well, maybe you don't. Get out a history book. I'm sure you might find it if the Orwellian memory flushers haven't flushed that down the toilet yet. But for right now, in the 110th Congress, they fell flat on their face with this. The people spoke, and they started hearing you. So don't ever tell me that your voice does not count. The effort to pick up a phone, do a little dialing on the dial pad there, and tell these people exactly what you think, it worked. People came out in droves. Here was something that just about everybody disagreed on, and that was their amnesty plan for, 35 to maybe 42 million illegals in this country right now? Let's bring on Pete Hendrickson, Cracking the Code. Good afternoon, Mr. Hendrickson. How are you doing?
Hey, John, how you doing? Congratulations on your move, and I'm honored to be on the last program to emanate from the a place of history there, the old RBN studio.
Well, it is definitely a place of history. It's been a short history so far, 3 years, but we've done a lot of damage.
Nonetheless, that's right. A lot of good, I would say, John.
Yeah, we've done a lot of damage to the other side. I called you, and I want to thank you for coming on in 50 minutes notice on this program, because I had a guest that I was scheduled out that had a medical emergency, and I don't want the listeners or you to feel that, you were second best, but I wanted to get you on the show, but I was going to wait till we made the move to get you on. But I've had so many people call me and say, you know, you got to get this guy on the air. You got to get him on the air. So here you are today.
And I'm glad to be able to fill in, and maybe we can do another one that's scheduled further in advance later on after you've done your move. That'd be fine, too.
Well, that's good.
I'm happy to be here today.
Well, and we were talking before the program today, and I had asked you if you were paying attention to this immigration deal in Washington, D.C., and you said that you had been paying attention.
I've been paying some attention, and, you know, one of the things you mentioned, the piecemeal approach that's being taken, and that brought something to my mind about this immigration bill that I've found most interesting, and that I think has actually been off the radar screens of a lot of people, and that is that this, in this bill, and certainly in the heart of this bill, kind of, you know, buried and unremarked, is real ID, and that is a piecemeal approach, or the immigration bill, or the insertion of this component in the immigration bill, is a piecemeal approach to accomplishing real ID, which is very, very much a goal of this administration. They really want this national ID card. They really want to implement a system that appears to oblige every person in this country to have a Social Security number, which is one of the aspects of real ID, and they're not going to let that one go. That's one of the reasons, in my opinion, that's one of the main reasons behind this constant reinvigoration of the amnesty bill, despite the obvious fact that the majority of the population of this country opposes this. Certainly the amnesty concept on its own merits opposition by itself, but the concept of real ID that's built in there, the requirement that in order to get a job, anywhere in this country, one would have to present a government-approved identification card.
Well, and that was to be run, by the way. You had to actually, and the way I read this, and if anybody out there says that I'm wrong, call in and correct me, but the way I read this was that any time a job application was put in, that employer could not hire you until it was cleared by Homeland Security.
Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of things that now, you know, there's a push on to have a lot of things need to be cleared by somebody, such as Homeland Security. Another interesting thing on that same note that I think a lot of people are perhaps unaware of is recent changes in the status of passports and passport processing that impose a requirement to essentially get permission from Homeland Security to leave the country, not just to come in. But if you as an American citizen want to leave, if you want to cross the border, you have to have this document as well. And it essentially you get your passport checked on the way out
as well as
on the way in.
Yeah, well, unless, of course, that you're an illegal and you're running drugs across the border, you can come in. I actually did a story yesterday, Pete, that and it dealt with this Jose Campion and Ramos. And they're sitting in a federal prison right now serving an 11-year stretch. And the guy that they busted, now see if you can get your mind wrapped around this one. The guy that they busted came up over the border, stole a van, drove the stolen van back over the border, loaded it up with 742 pounds, let's get that correct, 742 pounds of marijuana, drove back across the border, ran into Campo or Campion and Ramos, got into a little altercation, them trying to do their job. While the trial is going on, this guy gets popped again for running drugs, and of course he was the star witness for Johnny Sutton in the court, so they gave him immunity.
Right.
So here's the guy, while the court case is still going on, running drugs back across the border.
Well, he became the hero of this whole affair, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
These guys are doing time, and this guy is in the witness protection program.
Which reminds me, I must do this. I beg your indulgence here for a second. Coming up this Saturday down in San Antonio, June 30th. Let me correct myself. June 30th. This Saturday, this is going to be at 601 Northwest Loop on I-410 down there, from 12 noon until 2 p.m. There's going to be a showdown in San Antonio to get this Johnny Sutton out of the U.S. attorney spot down there. And you'll never guess who's showing up down there, Pete.
Who would that be?
The Iron Pigs Motorcycle Club. They have over 500 members, and they're all cops, and they're all going to show up on their Harleys tomorrow at this thing. So and them and American Freedom Riders is also going to be there. So there's going to be a lot of cops on motorcycles down there. Not with the red and blue lights on them, their own private conveyances. But this is the first time that I have seen where the cops are joining with the citizenry to protest, because now it's starting to strike home with them that they're wearing a badge. They're now starting to get the idea that their head's on the chopping block as well.
That's very good. Plus, you know what? They are our fellow citizens. There's a powerful push on, I think, in the militarization of law enforcement in this country to insert a wedge between the guys that wear the blue and the guys that pay their salaries, and that's a very, very bad and evil thing. It's good that these guys are showing some solidarity with the rest of us.
Yeah, and that thin blue line, they're now starting to get the idea that they are expendable. We have been telling this, Jack McLam, through his police and military against the New World Order. He's made his book, and tens and tens of thousands of these things were actually put directly into police officers' hands. Mm-hmm. And we've been telling them for 10 years, hey, look, you're the expendables. They're telling you we're expendable, but in actuality, remember Night of the Long Knives in Germany, once they did their little coup, they did away with the bad guys that helped facilitate it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, we'll take the break here. Call-in number for today's program, 800-313-9443. We'll run through some issues here and then get around to cracking the code here with my guest today. And, folks, the IRS has been a hot topic of late. Ed and Elaine Brown. Their program could be heard on this network Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. and on shortwave it's 12.180. And, of course, that's archived and streamed on the network.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back. Another point, Pete, that I wanted to make here about, and you know about the corporation, these police, they have been, if you've noticed through Homeland Security and the fight against Al-Qaeda that's lurking around every corner in this country now, a lot of funds have been shoveled toward the police departments in our communities across this country. And there's a good reason for that, because they're the Keystone Corporate Coffer cops. They're the ones that have the unelected police chief. He is appointed. And they've been systematically defunding the only constitutional law enforcement or peace officer, we should say, in this country, and that's your county sheriff and his deputies.
Sure.
There you go. And I wanted to make that point. Let me do this. I've got a couple callers here holding on. I'll take those calls, and I've got Michael Herzog standing by. He's got a couple of questions for you on the tax issues.
Okay.
So let's go to Carl first in California. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carl.
Hello. I've been sitting listening, and thank you, Pete, for bringing up the National Amnesty with the Real ID. They have a Real ID part on that, and one of the points in that bill or amendment was to override the states from throwing it out.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then it's a response to the fact that the Real ID Act under its own title is being strenuously resisted in a remarkable, astonishing, near-historic rising up of state governments, quite a number of them at this point, saying hell no. And it's heartwarming to see some of these states act, particularly those that have been very explicit in their declarations that it isn't the money, it isn't the bureaucratic burden, it's the usurpation of authority that the federal government simply does not have, and that the states, these states in particular, will not part with.
And they were working on the presumption here that this amnesty thing was going to pass.
Yes, indeed.
And they were gearing up at least to stop the national ID card.
Yes.
Carl, anything else?
No, but I just wanted to make sure people got mad about that part, too.
Oh,
yeah,
they
should.
Oh, I've been watching this very closely for almost the last week. And I'll tell you what, there were some jaw-dropping moments that I was watching in the United States Senate. I mean, they were breaking their own procedures. They were breaking their own rules. They were trying to fast-track this to the point where it was openly admitted on the Senate floor that the amendments to the bill, 1639, were not even received or even read. They were depending on the Democrats' synopsis of it, and they were supposed to do a vote and a debate on what they were telling them. So this was the most amazing thing. This thing locked up and came to a crashing halt this morning on the Senate floor. Thank God. But they're not done with it. They're going to try to piecemeal.
They have little concern for the law. They just want to have their way.
There you go.
That's all there is to it.
And I'll tell you what, it's a big monkey wrench in the globalist plans here, because one of the plans was to balkanize this country.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Keep that point out there, guys.
All right, Carl. Thank you.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, the real ID was a big factor in this. It certainly was. Steve in Colorado. Hello, Steve. You there, Steve?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes, you guys were talking about the Social Security number.
Yes.
And I have never heard anybody on the radio. I've been listening to shortwave for quite some time. But nobody has ever brought up Title 42 of the United States Code.
Okay, and that being the current home of the 1935 Social Security Act, what about it?
Well, in Section 408A8, it says, whoever discloses, uses, or compels the disclosure of the Social Security number of any person in violation of the laws of the United States shall be guilty of a felony, and upon conviction thereof shall be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned for not more than 5 years or both.
Sure. Section 7 of the Privacy Act of 1974 is what that's a codification of. And interestingly, there are aspects of Section 7 of that act that are not even included in the code. They're still on the books, and the Department of Justice will acknowledge that they are. They can be found on the appendix page at LostRisings.com, LostRisings.com/appendix.htm. And that makes for interesting reading. It essentially emphasizes the section provision that you just read, Steve, and well worth everyone knowing. The Social Security number has become a de facto national ID. It is ubiquitous. It's demanded of everyone all the time, and everyone is all too much in the habit of just giving it out without too much question or thought. You don't ever have to, with a single exception of when you're engaging in a taxable activity and it's being asked for in connection with reporting on a taxable activity. And that does not include working for a living,
right,
earning money, et cetera. It only includes certain very rarefied forms of earning money and so forth.
Yeah,
so,
Steve, I actually saw this on C-SPAN several years ago. I forget the law professor's name from Georgetown University. A caller had called in with that question and said, well, I've got one of the original cards, and it said it's not supposed to be used
for identification
purposes.
Right.
But then he went into that Section 42 that you just mentioned of the code, and he said, oh, no, well, that wasn't meant for government. That was meant for private individuals or companies or corporations, that they couldn't use it. And then I heard that, and I thought, what kind of Orwellian doublespeak is that? Either it's illegal to use it as an identifier, not just the private sector, but the government as well.
Yeah.
They
try
to do damage control on it. Hey, Steve, thanks for your call. I appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. We got a break here. We'll be back with Peter Hendrickson, Cracking the Code. The website, ladies and gentlemen, is, and I'll get it out, LostHorizons.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We're back, and a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, or you may be absolutely, boy, quit shaking your head. I've been doing double duty talking this whole week, scrambling and trying to get everything together. Yeah, let my mind catch up with my tongue here. We're moving for the next 3 days, ladies and gentlemen, so live programming will resume. Frank Whelan will be live tonight. All the live programming will resume with its regular schedule Monday morning. So just keep that in mind, and we appreciate it. The new address for the network, we're moving across town, so we're not going to be close to almost beautiful downtown Round Rock. Thank goodness. RBN 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas. Same city, same zip, 78664. And you're listening today to Peter Hendrickson, Cracking the Code. The website, ladies and gentlemen, is LostHorizons.com. And I have Michael. Is Michael online? Michael Herzog, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, you sound better than I do. I'm in this. They gutted my studio. They were going to take the window out of here, but I said, wait a minute. You can't do that because then I'm going to hear the guy on the board and talking to the people on the phone and everything else. Leave the window. So, hey, welcome to the program, Michael.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And hello, Pete.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Pretty good. Pleasure to meet you. I've read your book. And, you know, the caller that called in a couple callers ago, that Carl, he's talking about usurping authority. And, John, I was listening to RBN this morning, Derry Brownfield, and there was a G.B. Oliver from the Paragon Foundation that came on. And on the subject of that usurping authority, I wanted to ask Pete. This G.B. Oliver had mentioned something about the, a motion that you could file or something of that nature, that the federal government really doesn't even have the authority in the state, and you can declare sovereign citizenship or something of that nature and try to get it kicked out of federal court and get it into a state court. Do you know anything about that, Pete?
Well, I'm familiar with some theorizing along that line, and there is certainly something to that. Federal jurisdiction is a limited jurisdiction, unlike the state courts that have a general jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is the first question that is presented in any kind of affair or action going on in a federal court. And federal courts acquire their jurisdiction essentially by statute and or by constitutional provision. They, as I said, don't have a general authority. And so certainly someone who is being taken to task for something outside of federal subject matter jurisdiction can issue that challenge. And if correct about that, force the action, if it continues to take place at all, into a state court. That is not to say that somebody can declare themselves to be a citizen of Texas, for instance, and thereby thwart any kind of federal action. There is a misunderstanding in the activist community to that effect. It's kind of that sort of says, you know, unless a person is a federal entity of some kind, the federal government can have nothing to do with them. That's not true. There were cessions made in the United States Constitution, and there are areas in which the federal government has a general authority. It doesn't have a general police power. It doesn't have a general regulatory authority where it can pick and choose, you know, how that's applied. But there are lots of ways in which people do legally interface with the federal government, and simply being a citizen of Texas, again, is not a bulletproof insulation from that potential connection.
Yeah, well,
sorry,
no, the only reason
for the words there.
Yeah, the only reason I ask the question is because, you know, in reading a number of these, I've got a question and answer thing sitting right in front of me, and I have read your book. I have my own issues, as John knows, with the Internal Revenue Service.
You got about 400,000 reasons for that.
Really? And you know, as a matter of fact,
I don't have any issues with them, though, Michael. I do want you to know that. I have no issues with them at all, and they leave me alone for the most part.
Well, no, I know. I have been sucked into this quagmire, and I'm not even going to go into any detail about it. But I mean, you know, with what I've followed, the Dixon Cannon trial, the Irwin mm-hmm. Schiff trial, the Larkin Rose trial, and I mean, there's a lot of shenanigans that go on in those trials, and the evidence is never brought forward, you know, because they always suppress it. But you know, just by virtue of the fact that the Department of the, or the Internal Revenue Service isn't even an organization in the Department of the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
It is. It's listed as a bureau of the Department of Treasury. It's listed in the Department of Treasury organizational table. And in fact, on my website, I have posted a discussion of that and a letter from a U.S. attorney on the subject that might be an interesting read for you.
Well, what I've got up here, I'm not going to debate it. I'm just going to throw this out at you, okay, because I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. But it says, this is under supremelaw.org. It says, the Internal Revenue Service is an organization within the United States Department of the Treasury, and the answer is no. The IRS is not an organization within the United States Department of the Treasury. The U.S. Department of the Treasury was organized by statutes now codified in Title 31 of the United States Code, abbreviated 31 USC. The only mention of the IRS anywhere in 31 USC 301-310 is an authorization for the president to appoint an assistant general counsel in the U.S. Department of the Treasury to be the chief counsel for the IRS. Now, I'm reading through this stuff, and I'm looking at, you know, according to what I'm reading here, as far as I know, you know, the Internal Revenue Service as a whole is nothing more than a collection agency for an international banking cartel.
Well, it is certainly nothing more than a collection agency and an accounting firm. That is absolutely true, and it's important that people recognize that. People tend to think of them as, you know, some kind of law enforcement operation or a Gestapo. I mean, certainly they behave like a Gestapo, but they are just accountants and collectors and nothing more.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the quagmire that I'm in, I would take up John's whole show explaining this to you, so I'm not going to go there because I know you guys have other subject matter to get into. But at some point, I'd like to have you up on my show and chat with you a little bit about that.
It'd be my pleasure.
And actually, if people don't know of Mike Herzog's show, I call him Hertzy. That's my pet name for him. I had to develop that because we were actually in, close confinement for some 70 hours, Michael?
Something like that.
Something like that. what was it, 4,630 miles and two tenths?
Yes.
Yeah, it was something like that. But anyhow, we went up to the Browns up in New Hampshire, and we delivered Randy Weaver up there, which he stayed for a few days. He's now back at home, but he's going to be going back up there. I'll tell you what, Michael, this ties in perfectly, and you need to get this man on your program, because I'm sure in the balance of this program today, we're only going to be able to touch upon the issue of taxation and do away with some myths and get some real fact out there. And I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Well, that's why I wanted to chime in, and I wanted to get from Pete, if he would be so kind as to come on my show and let me get inside his head and find out, you know, if I can get any answers to some of my own problems.
Absolutely love to do it, Michael. You you give me a call. John can pass along contact info, and let's do it.
Thank you so much, buddy. I'll be listening. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Michael. Right. Appreciate it. Yeah, he's on, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, and that is Central Time right here on the network. Pete, I am looking at your website here. Now, you said that you have no issues with the IRS. Now, does that mean you have no issues pending before the IRS?
No, it means that I don't have any tax-related issues with them.
Gotcha.
I have a few issues going on with the Department of Justice, which is trying for the fourth time to suppress my book by means of a lawsuit, and this latest one, I beat them the first three times, in fact, to the point where they withdrew their and moved the courts for dismissal in each of the three previous occasions. This time, they actually succeeded in getting a district court ruling in their favor, and we're going into the appellate court. And in fact, my appellate brief on that action is going to be posted in tomorrow's newsletter, and I strongly encourage everyone interested in the subject of the income tax to visit the newsletter at lostrises.com/newsletter.htm and read that brief. They will be very heartened and filled with important information as a consequence.
Now, Pete, did they come at you the same way they went after Irwin Shifton?
No, absolutely not, and it's important to distinguish these things, I think, John. What is being attempted against me has never been done in any court in United States history before. It's just as, you know, I scored an historic first, being the first American in history to receive a complete refund of all Social Security and Medicare contributions. I was the first to have 6,700 promotion of an abusive tax shelter actions dismissed against me. Those were the three previous lawsuits that I referred to a minute ago. And I'm the first American in history to have a court attempt to order a change in the testimony on a tax return, which is the mechanism that the Department of Justice attempted to deploy in trying to overcome filings that my wife and I made for 2002 and 2003, resulting in complete refunds from the federal government. They want to make that look like it shouldn't have happened and make it so that it didn't happen, and the only hope that they have is if they could get a court to coerce a change in testimony on our previously filed returns, and that's what they're trying to do. There's a a good and significant reason why that approach is being taken. If those if that testimony doesn't change, they got no claim and they know it. And
so they're actually trying to go into the court record and change testimony?
They're trying to order us to do it. They're ordering us to testify against ourselves, to perjure ourselves, essentially.
Yeah,
obviously it isn't going to happen. And obviously the fact that this is all they can resort to is because they got nothing. They got no game here. And they're kind of giving, making yet another backdoor acknowledgement of the fact that what is taught in Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America, is 100% accurate, and it is all anyone needs to know about the income tax.
Well, that makes you one of the authorities in this country, and obviously you know what you're doing because you're one of the few authorities that are not currently or have been locked up in a federal prison.
That's true. In addition to that, of course, as of tomorrow, I will have $2,281,000 plus in refund checks from the federal and 25 state governments posted on my website, checks which continue to issue each and every Friday and Monday year-round and have been doing so for years now to the readers of my book. That's along with notice of deficiency closing notices, something that's never before been seen in this country, releases of lien, releases of levy, zero balance transcripts, everything that every good thing that can happen as a consequence of a complete knowledge of the income tax.
Now, you're well aware of Erwin Schiff's cases.
Very much.
He was the zero income tax. Larkin Rose with the 861 argument. Dick Simcannon, I actually was in attendance at that federal trial up in Fort Worth, Texas. And the argument that his lawyer was convinced basically to take the no neck and palms up attitude, like I didn't know. What he had actually done is told his employees, look, I'm not going to be the tax collector for the federal government. Here is your earnings statements. You do with it what you will. And they went after this guy with a vengeance. You know,
yes, they absolutely did. And you know, it's a true tragedy. Not understanding how the tax is implemented, Dick stipulated to the receipt of income during the course of pretrial activities. Continued to characterize and allow his the pay that he gave to his workers to be characterized as wages,
mm-hmm.
continued to allow his workers to be characterized as employees, himself to be characterized as an employer. All of these terms that I just referred to, wages, employees, employer, and many others as well, income for that matter also, have technical legal meanings within the context of tax law. And in making those admissions, which were done either directly or by allowing those terms to be used without contest or dispute, Dick unfortunately he knocked the pins out from under himself. He essentially was saying that he was indeed engaged in federally taxable activities and was making payments of earnings connected with taxable activities to his workers, and therefore, on the one hand, denying vehemently that he was taxable, and on the other hand, stipulating that he was engaging in taxable activity. So
right.
it was a hopeless situation.
Well, and his attorney, I had met his attorney. His attorney was trying to do his best, and he was
frustrated.
Yeah, he was frustrated in any given turn. Now I can understand why, in retrospect, looking at that case. But here at the network here, I don't have employees. I have people that are independent contractors. I've made them sign a paper to that and put their John Hancock on the line. And they understand they're responsible for their own taxes if and so they want to donate to the federal government.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, somebody had brought this up this year that, I don't even, I don't even pay taxes, or, you know, my employees don't pay taxes. Well, I'm not going to force them. I mean, I'm in the Dick Simcannon camp, but not in as much as these people are independent contractors. They work here, but they're responsible for their own legality or with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, everybody here, we're going to get copies of your book, and everybody here will read your book.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be. And in actuality, the IRS, I mean, here we are, end of June. Tax time is over. My wife, she cringes every April 15th when I play the song by, forget the gentleman's name here, I'll think of it in a second, but stick the tax forms where the sun don't shine. And she cringes every time I do that. And I said, well, look, you know, the way they have this set up, the way their definitions are, the law that they cannot show you ever in a federal court of law, and they keep stipulating that, well, you do owe these taxes, and, well, here's the subsections and the statutes of the IRS code, but what we keep asking them for, where is the liability for the individual out there? I don't care if you call it an income. I don't care if you call it manna from heaven. But where does it stipulate that I owe the government under this income tax scheme?
You want me to answer that?
Sure do.
Okay. It's a self-created liability. That the way the system operates is there is a requirement that any person who has received more than the exemption amount of income, and bearing in mind, and we won't get into the details of it, but income is a defined term. It doesn't mean more than the exemption amount of money. It means more than the exemption amount of what is defined in the law as income. Anyone who has received more than that amount is required by statute to do a tax return. They're also required by statute to do that return accurately. And when they do that, they are also required to calculate a tax or submit the information over their signature under penalties of perjury to the Secretary of Treasury, who will then calculate the tax for them. That's how the liability comes to exist.
And so where a lot of people get tripped up is when they do that self-declaration, and then under penalty of perjury, then they go in, take a look at what they're doing, they do their own little background stuff, and voila, oh, well, we caught you in a lie.
Well, that and they declare earnings that aren't income to be income.
All right, hold on a second. We've got a break. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best-tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad-spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
back. LostHorizons.com, cracking the code, and I'm looking at the man's website, and he just corrected the figures. Readers of Cracking the Code, the fascinating truth about taxation in America, has already retained or taken back well over, and here's the revised numbers on the site. It says $2,260,341.84. It's actually $2,281,000 and some change. So the numbers continue to grow. The only hot water this gentleman is in, the DOJ is after him now for his book, Cracking the Code. And what is the basis that they're coming after you on this?
Well, the ostensible basis is that they're claiming to have erroneously refunded the 2002 and 2003 withholdings that were properly returned to my wife and I a number of years ago. They are unable to make a case for that, of course, because it simply isn't true, and they didn't even offer any evidence to that effect. Nonetheless, they did succeed in getting a district court judge of less than sterling integrity, as it proves to be the case, to grant them a summary judgment. They dodged a trial, they avoided a trial, and essentially the judge ruled on all of our initial motions and granted the summary judgment in the same five-minute period.
Really?
Yes.
He's efficient. He's a rather efficient federal judge.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So no trial, no nothing presented to a jury or given a chance to actually be contested. We are now in appellate court in the Sixth Circuit, and I expect this situation to be pretty promptly reversed.
Okay. We've got a couple of phone calls. Callers have been patiently waiting here. Alan in Texas, you're up with Pete Hendrickson. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, hi. I'm sitting here looking at the Lost Horizons website. I'm fixing to order your book here. I had a question, though. You were talking earlier about giving out Social Security numbers. I'm in the process right now of changing my health insurance, and, of course, they want my Social Security, my wife's, and all
sure.
the kids. And I filled out the application here and gave it to the agent. And then right away he called back and said, "Hey, you forgot your Social Security number." I said, "No, I didn't forget." I said, "I don't want to give them." And he said, "Well, I don't." He said, "I can't get you a policy then."
I suspect that he'll find when he really inquires that he's wrong about that, not being able to give you a policy. You know, I can't address each and every little bureaucratic idiosyncrasy out there. An insurance company certainly wants to assign a unique identifying number to every person. They like numbers for some reason because, you know, it is true. We all know there are people that have the same name as other people, and, you know, numbers can be unique. And that really, is, as best I can tell, is their only legitimate interest in having a number. A Social Security number does happen to be a convenient, unique identifying number for those who have them. But, of course, you know, a lot of Americans don't have Social Security numbers. There's no obligation to have a Social Security number. And so clearly, you know, an insurance company or any other institution doesn't really have to have a Social Security number. Otherwise, they'd be turning people away on a regular basis. In fact, there was a little bit of a scandal. We were talking about illegal aliens not too long ago. There's a kind of a widely known but little talked about sort of a scandal or aspect of this in California right now. It is quite common for banks to issue accounts, give accounts to people without even inquiring about Social Security numbers, despite the fact that, you know, most people are asked for that. And the reason is because they're opening accounts for illegal aliens who simply don't have them. They recognize this is a big market,
right,
and they don't want to thwart it. They don't want to, you know, turn these people away, and so they've undertaken the practice of simply not asking. So I'm confident that the insurance company, if it is pressed, will be perfectly happy to accept or create an alternative unique identifying number.
Well, there's a couple different ways for data entry. You can do it by numbers. You can do it by name. If an insurance company really wants to make an identifier, a numerical identifier, they can make up their own number for your file as long
Absolutely.
As they have it.
I've done that. I've had that done myself. I don't give my Social Security number out under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So I should just keep pressing
on that. In fact, it isn't even my Social Security number. And, you know, if even